As I'm sure you've heard this morning or read in your bulletin, or even heard during Carl's wonderful prayer, we have a guest speaker tonight, and I'm very happy to introduce Brandon Price. I don't remember if it's been 3 or 4 years, Brandon, but we've been associated with you for a good long while, and I think it's been to our credit at Glenpool to have a small part in supporting your ministry. If you guys have not done so, I would encourage you to find a way to receive Brandon's email. And I don't know if I'm getting blog entries emailed to me or if I'm getting a special newsletter. But either way you want to consume, he gives regular updates on his family. Katie and Justice could not be with us tonight. I know they were a big hit last time they were here, but they've just recently got back in the States. And I think they're taking some downtime, which is a big part of missionary work. But Brandon's going to come up here and give us an update and tell us about the work that's going on. They've been back about a week or so, a couple weeks. Now, that is when the hot weather started here. So maybe, Brandon, you can explain that, because that may or may not be may or may not be global warming. We didn't think it was a thing, but now it's real. But I'm going to turn it over to Brandon, and I want to thank all of you for your support at Glenpool. You know, there are so many things as elders that we worry, well, can we handle this capacity? Can we go back to teaching again? It turns out we can because of you guys. Can we continue to support the mission work that we've committed to support during a global pandemic? It turns out we were able to do that because of you guys, because of your faithfulness, because of your dedication. And I thank you all so much. You're wonderful servants, and I'll let Brandon give you an example of some of the work that's being done because of your faithfulness and because of your support. Brandon Price.
Aha. Okay, can you hear me? Good. I don't remember from last time if there's a way to turn off the front lights just so it's a little bit more visible. If not, it's okay. Europe's usually not that bright, but it's okay. Just a quick map to remind everyone where Ukraine is. Very much Eastern Europe, any more east, and you're in Russia, so that's where we are. For those that don't remember, it's been about a year and a half since we were here last, and Glenpool has been working with my family and me for a few years at least, probably closer to four, five, because you started helping when the East was in chaos in Eastern Ukraine, started sending us some funds for helping our internally displaced people. We call them refugees, internally displaced people. So Glenpool's been a partner with us in that. And then a couple of years ago, my wife and I moved to the capital city of Kyiv to work with the Ukrainian Bible Institute. And last year, I took over there as the director of the school. So we've been there 1 year, and it's been good. It's been a challenge, for sure, a learning experience, but it's been fulfilling. We've enjoyed being there. I do have a family, my wife Katie. This is Justice. This was right before we went into a bank to rob it. Justice is 4 and a half, just about, and last time we did this trip a year and a half ago was the first time we did the big tour with a child, and we realized we were crazy. And this year we thought we have to be more proactive in not destroying him as a human being. So yesterday he was having an off day, and we decided tonight they just needed to stay home and not get a whole new rush of new people and new places and all of that stuff. But Justice is 4. He's awesome most of the time. This trip back to the States, which we got back 2.5 weeks ago, this is the first trip we left the stroller behind, which was a little nerve-wracking, but we decided to go with his scooter, which turned out to be so cool. Scooters in airports, highly recommended. I just have to figure out how to get my scooter into the airport. in Chicago, we were running late for our flight off to Charlotte, and we had to run full speed. And I said, Justice, ride as fast as you can. And he went full speed through the airport, and it was pretty awesome. But there he is. I don't know how many of you remember him from last year, but he's growing up fast. This is his new passport photo. We have to renew his passport photo. But we are happy to be back in the States. We're here until mid-August, just in the area for another 9 days or so. We're going from here to Texas, to Idaho, to California, to Nevada, to Tennessee, and back to Charlotte, North Carolina, before we fly back. It's a bit exhausting, but we get to see lots of wonderful people while we do it, including you. And the good news for you is you've caught us at the beginning of the trip. So I haven't repeated all of this 100 times yet, and it's exciting to share. It's the exact same thing I'll say for the rest of the trip. I've been in Ukraine a while, about 13 years altogether, and been there at the school 2 years and been in charge of the school for 1 year. I gave you a little bit of an introduction to the school and the people we work with last time we were here, but for those of you who either weren't here or don't memorize every single thing I say, I thought I would just give you a reminder of who the school is, what the school is all about. UBI began 25 years ago this fall in the city of Donetsk, Ukraine, as a Sunset International Bible Institute branch school. It was a time in Ukraine that there were a lot of missionary campaigns happening, a lot of new churches, a lot of new Christians, and a lot of people that were standing up saying, I want to be a preacher, but I don't know anything. And that was the world that UBI, the Ukrainian Bible Institute, was born, was trying to meet this need to train all of these preachers who were ready to serve and to minister to the church. So they came and studied for 2 years at the Bible Institute, learning the Bible, learning some ministry skills, and that's been happening now we just completed the 24th year. The students are supported full-time to study full-time, and those donations come from people in the States. During that time, at the very beginning, and it's lasted all these years, UBI is not just a preacher's training school, but it's been a conduit for all kinds of ministries in Ukraine, for partnering between churches in the States and Ukraine and other ministries around Ukraine, benevolent work, working with orphanages and hospitals and different things. So as the work of the school grew, they were able to acquire a building with offices, a building with dorms. It was beautiful and wonderful. And then 2014 happened, which, as a reminder, since that is now an unbelievable about 7 years ago, coming up on 7 years, that was when Russia sort of invaded Ukraine and chopped off the bottom side of Ukraine and instigated the two eastern provinces to declare their independence from Ukraine as the Donetsk Republic and the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic. That's over there on the east. Those two regions now say they don't belong to Ukraine. And things got crazy. War was destroying people. War was destroying places. And the Bible Belt, essentially, of Ukraine was faced with its Acts 8 moment. Everybody just fled, spread everywhere. All the ministries, all of the churches that were around at that time, things closed down, people were losing lives, their homes were being blown up, and it was a time of madness. And it was trying to help these people from where we used to be that we got connected with Glenn Poole and you started helping with us. But several of our graduates lost their homes and moved to other cities, but they kept working. This is Fedya and Nastya Chernichkin. They landed in a city. They did not have family. They did not have friends there. And they began a congregation, and that congregation just a few months ago celebrated its 6th year. And they are together in a growing group, and they have already sent students to us to the Bible Institute, which is fantastic. This is Dima Grishuk. He is one of our full-time teachers, but he's also been the lead of a ministry called Let's Love. And when they were in the city of Donetsk, they ministered to at-risk youth and families that needed help. But as their whole team was spread across Ukraine, they just started ministering to the refugees as best they could. And that's something they're still doing to this day. Those pictures both were taken just a few weeks ago when they go down to the cities that are along kind of the battle line, the new borders, where most people have fled, but a lot of families had nothing to flee to, and they've stayed there, and kids don't go to school, and there's not a lot of food and not a lot of care. And so they go down there periodically and take things to them. This is on the very right there, Sasha, and the woman in his arms is his wife, Nastya. They are very good friends of mine, and they work also through the Let's Love program, but minister to youth. They came to Kharkiv, where we were, began a youth program that is growing and still doing well, even though they've moved on. And the guy right next to them, I'm talking about the right picture, the guy in the middle, his name is Vanya, became a Christian a year ago. His mother followed soon after, and he just completed his first year at the Bible Institute. And he has goals to go back to Kharkiv, where he's from, and work with the youth as he continues his life in whatever capacity it's going to take for him as well. 17 years old, just graduated high school last year. So ministers were going, new churches were being planted, and after a time of being closed, the Ukrainian Bible Institute decided to land in Kyiv, which is in the more or less center of Ukraine. It's the most expensive city, and it's the largest city, and there are a lot of pluses for being there, a lot of negatives, too, as far as the increased expenses of just being in the capital city. But that's where they've been for the past 5 years, I believe, and this is our current place that they've been several years. This is the only one I know. This is the door I walk in when I go to work. It's our spot. We live about an 8-minute walk from the building, so pretty rough commute. Can't listen to much at all. So that's where UBI comes from, what UBI has been involved with, and the good things that have happened since UBI has been forced to change locations and think about where things are going. What UBI has been up to lately, this was our student body as of February, right after the Christmas break. We just had graduation. We graduated 8 students, so we had 16. We graduated 8. Now we have 10. Figure that out. Maybe at the end I can explain that to you, but those are the correct numbers. It's been a weird year. I don't know if you've heard about this in the news, but there's this virus going around all of Ukraine that's just shut things down. You wouldn't even believe it. We have to wear masks wherever we go. They put quarantine on people. The churches have closed. It's been madness. I just don't even think you can relate.
How can I communicate this to you better? I don't know.
Just try to imagine it. So COVID has pushed us to grow in ways that it's pushed, you know, everybody to grow. One of those areas is education that's really been stretched and pushed through the coronavirus time. And so UBI has, that's coronavirus in Russian, in case you aren't up on your Russian skills since high school. This is what our chapel times looked like before the coronavirus. Pretty big, full classrooms. This is what chapel times look like after coronavirus. Warm and fuzzy. Just love getting on, saying hi to everybody when everybody's mics are muted, except for that one guy whose mic's never muted. And that was every day. But UBI has become proficient in it. The things we thought would never happen, we could never do, well, we had to do it, and we're doing it. And even the teachers, for example, let's say this guy, who is pretty anti-technology, is now very proficient in leading his classes and even sermons with the church online. You will notice that on top of his laptop, there is not a very nice, expensive USB microphone, because he likes to remove it every few days and say, I don't think it's really helping. We bought all the teachers' mics, we bought everybody cameras when all of this first started, and I'm trying to explain to him how important it is and how different it is, and so I recorded the difference. And to me, tin can versus radio host. And I showed him, and he's like, I don't hear it. Okay. So every few days, we're like, where is that microphone? Can we put it back? But he's doing well. Here's me teaching one of my classes during the lockdown time. Now, actually, this year, the Ukrainian Bible Institute has been blessed to be able to be back in the classroom for much of the year. We've had to follow different protocols and everything. But when we've been in the classroom with our native, located teachers, because I'm one and I'm not a native teacher, it's looked like a normal classroom for the most part. But many of the Ukrainian Bible Institute teachers come over every year from the States. They visit. And that didn't happen a single time this last year. In fact, our Ukrainian visiting teachers weren't even able to travel and come see us. And so because of that, we were online in the classroom. Now, this was a benefit because it allowed even students that were feeling a little sick or couldn't make it for whatever reason, they could still join us, which was a nice change, I guess, or an improvement. But definitely Zoom fatigue for everyone. So we did our best to make sure we got this nicer TV for this room that was too bright for a projector, made sure the sound was good for the students. This is the other classroom. That is Zhenya. He translates, one of the two translators we have for the school, translating for someone from Texas. We've definitely had to become more flexible. Because of our visiting teachers, we've had to change start times and end times to the day. When teachers are coming from Pacific Standard Time, they get up at 3:45 a.m. to teach our students in the afternoon for us. And so all kinds of, every few weeks that a different class starts, we're like, here's the schedule this time. And the students were good about it, probably didn't complain nearly as much as I did about it. This is Sergei. He's our IT / correspondence course guy, and it was like January or February, he was expressing to me his frustration about how he didn't really know what his purpose was with the school. He didn't feel like he had a lot of work to do. And so, if you're going to blame anyone, blame him. Just days go by, and he is running around like crazy. We're trying to equip the classrooms, the students. He's delivering things to the different apartments. So glad to have him as part of the team. Something else we've been doing besides COVID things this year is trying to experiment more with practical classes. UBI has always been a school that tries to teach practical skills, but it has been more focused on teaching preaching and the Bible classes. But last year we started a class called Youth Ministry, just starting youth ministries. And it was very well received. And this year we did a few more. We had a pastoral counseling class. We had a Christian mentorship class about how to teach youth classes. So not just a preaching time, but a time on like, here's how youth learn better and here's how to lead those classes. How to teach women's classes for the ladies. And at their last class of the year, it was a 5-day, we call seminar week, and it was a class on practical evangelism, which they've had before, but this year we invited some of our alumni back, and each one of them that we consider to have the gift of evangelism took a day and shared their experiences and their advice to the students, and they were a hit. The students were like, why didn't we do this a long time ago? That's Yura on the left. He was somebody who became a Christian in his hometown years ago, and they didn't have a church, so he started a church in his home. And it grew and grew, and it wasn't until years later that he had the opportunity to go to UBI and study, and he did that and returned home. The man in the middle, his name is Bogdan, and he and his wife came as my wife and I were transitioning out of the work we were at before. And he has a passion for prison ministry and rehab work, or reintegrating after being released from prison. And he got to share that. And then the man on the right is Victor. And he and his wife have been doing a church plant in Western Ukraine the last couple of years. And through their work, one of our graduates this year was from their church. And so it's fun to see it grow. It's a blessing. And it was a blessing to them to take part in the classes. They were all very nervous to be invited and to get to teach at UBI. And it was good for them too. So, at the end of May, right before we got on a plane to leave, we did have graduation this year. And we didn't have graduation last year. We had 6 graduates last year. This year we had 8. And we invited last year's to join us for this year's ceremony, and 4 of them were able to make it. But we were able to do a good graduation in our school. It was beautiful. And I wanted to just point out a few things to you. The lady on the right, far right, her name is Ludmila. She's our office manager. She was in one of the very first classes of the Ukrainian Bible Institute. And after she became a Christian and was going to the school and telling everybody she knew in her area about Christ and about the school, she told this lady right in the middle, her name is Lena, who was her boss at a bakery. And her boss was fairly successful and had absolutely no interest in the gospel or anything she was trying to sell. Lena had a good income, but not such a great marriage, and her husband struggled with alcohol, and eventually she did too. And eventually she ended up in the hospital with very serious sickness, which caused her to lose her eye, and she's very frail even today. But it was during that hospital visit that she realized her life needed to turn around and change. And this is just a few years ago that this happened. And so when she recovered, she went to the one place she knew from that lady from a long time ago who was bringing people to the church. And she started going to the church. She's from Donetsk, which is now, you know, the breakaway region, was a part of the church there. And she is now one of our graduates. And she's planning on returning home to be a part of the church there and to be essentially a missionary there and to be there close to her family. Her biggest heartache is that her daughter is not a Christian and is very opposed to her sharing her faith with her grandchildren, and she's a wonderful lady. So here are our graduates. The man on the top right spent many years in prison, and he is one of those that at the end of 2 years, you compare him with who he started with, and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I think we're doing something. Because day to day, you weren't sure, but then at the end, you compare, and okay, there's been some positive changes. Then there's people like top middle, that's Yegor. His brother went to Ukrainian Bible Institute, his father went to UBI years ago, and now he's completed it. The young girl, who is also little, in front of him is the girl that was converted from the new church planting work, and she is either just got married this week or is getting married next week, I can't remember, to one of our other graduates, and he's working with a church plant right outside of Kyiv, and so she's joining him in that. So we are proud of our graduates. We think they're doing a great job. And right after graduation, we sat them down for a little interview to ask them what they are taking away from their time in UBI and what UBI has meant to them. And I thought what they had to share was very encouraging, so I wanted to share it with you. So this next slide should be a video. There are subtitles, because I really want you to hear their voices. So put on your listening eyeballs and pay attention, because it can go by fast. And then watch the volume, I guess. Let's see. Oh, I think I have to click it one more time. There we go. I know it doesn't matter, but is there audio? Can we pause it? I'll go back. Should we give it a try? If it matters, I have the file separately. You could load it up and we could play it at the end, if that's easier. We're going to do that? What's that? Give it a go? Okay. It seems to be frozen.
Донести людям
ага.
То, во что я верю.
Okay, let's go back though.
Действительно.
This is kind of funny that we're working so hard, because of course you can't understand them. But you can hear them. You can, you know. All right, here we go. Can we turn it up a little bit from what it was just now? All right.
Учеба в ОБИ, ну, невозможно сказать, что не понравилось. Конечно, понравилось.
И преподаватель, и каждый человек хочет о том, чтобы мы чему-то научились. Чтобы не просто мы получили какие-то знания, ну и пошли, а для того, чтобы мы эти знания научились применять. Я стала намного дисциплинированнее, я научилась работать над собой, я научилась говорить правильно о своей вере, я могу донести людям то, во что я верю действительно.
В УБИ я научилась не то, что снисходительно, а скорее всего над собой работать, опускать свою гордость и уметь из-за этого общаться со всеми людьми, которые находятся рядом.
Раньше мне было очень страшно говорить о Христе, потому что мне казалось о том, что ну, сейчас меня что-то спросят, а мне не получится ответить. А сейчас я знаю о том, что я знаю, что ответить, я знаю, как звучит вообще само Евангелие, и о том, как Евангелие изменяет сердца других людей.
В УБИ, как моя любимая фраза, я научился учиться.
Самое особенное, что я приобрел в УБИ, это понимание Слова Божьего. Понимание контекста, понимание исторического фона, понимание тех причин и обстоятельств, которые были тогда, и как их применять сейчас.
Большинство предметов не понравилось, особенно таких практических, где там душепопечение у нас было, классный предмет с Крисом Джо, был еще предмет молодежное служение, очень, так сказать, для меня актуальный предмет. И...
Кроме изучения слова, здесь давались и такие предметы, как и общаться с людьми, евангелизация, как детей воспитывать, и уроки, как проводить. Были своего рода трудности, но, если честно, если бы мне сказали еще раз отучиться в УБИ, я бы отучилась бы, мне понравилось.
100% это дало то, что я теперь понимаю, чем я хочу заниматься, и теперь я могу служить в церкви с действительно огромными знаниями.
УБИ дало мне четкие понятия о том, кто я как христианин, и в будущем я могу спокойно это людям объяснять, говорить о том, кто я, что я делаю, чего состоит моя жизнь.
Ты духовно так наполняешься, что хочешь потом служить, и дай Бог, я думаю, буду Господа просить, чтобы это не прошло у меня.
Я думаю, что 2 года этих были насыщенными, и они очень пролетели быстро. Не хватало бы 3-го года.
Мои планы на будущее в служении и те истины, те знания, которые я приобрел в УБИ, я хочу направить в служение реабилитации. И моя мечта – это реабилитационный центр. Почему ты меня сюда, я заплакал? Нет.
Теперь смогу не только библейские истины изучать, а еще изучать профессии различные тоже с легкостью, я думаю. Поэтому бы им мне дало очень такие хорошие навыки на мое будущее.
Еще в будущем я собираюсь заниматься юридической деятельностью и этим самым помогать церкви, потому что юристов у нас немного.
Я очень рада, что я действительно пробыла это время в изучении. Это сформировало меня как христианку, и я очень благодарна тем, кто действительно помогает, потому что это невероятное благословение.
Я очень рада, что я пошла учиться, и мне это дало, опять же, таки основную крепкую базу, на которой я потом могу дальше строить свою жизнь.
УБИ — это тот тот трамплин, та дверь, которая ведет в будущее и реально ясное, четкое будущее – служить Богу.
Is that encouraging? I think that's so encouraging. And I really like it because I didn't tell them what to say. And they said all the things I would hope they would say. So it was very encouraging. I loved hearing just from their own experiences how UBI is bigger than just we come here and study the Bible. I've learned to work on myself. I've learned skills. I feel like I can go forward and study anything I want to study. All of these things that were blessings to them through their time is just wonderful. And this church has been a small part of that. And so a big thank you for that small part that you play in the school. So as we look towards closing, I want to end in saying a few words about the future of UBI. UBI is doing what it's always done, teaching the Bible, training for ministry. But as we look to the future, we're thinking a lot about what needs to change at UBI. Because Ukraine is absolutely not the same country that it was when it started 25 years ago, nearly. UBI began after the fall of the wall, the collapse of the Soviet Union. People were starving for God's word. There were very few printed resources in the Russian language. There was no internet. There was internet, but not as a source of any sort of material or help. So if you wanted to study God's word at that time, your options were limited. UBI was like a spiritual oasis in the middle of a dry desert. If you wanted to learn, that's where you had to go. And it was that oasis for so many people. But 25 years later, things are very different. Christian churches are not the novelty that they once were. People are used to seeing, some kind of denomination on every other street corner. The Bible is not the rare commodity that it once was. Grandmothers are carrying their tablets and their phones and looking at their Bibles there. I know a man who became a preacher. He serves today in the city of Mariupol. He first came to Christ when he heard there was an American campaign group that was giving away Bibles. And he wanted to go see a Bible in real life because he'd always heard about it and never seen one. Those days are long gone. It's just, we've got a whole generation and a half that has grown up in a free Ukraine and is acquainted with Protestant Christianity, and it's not the new thing that it was. So really, the dry desert has become this ocean of information. And if UBI once was the oasis, now I think it needs to stand as a lighthouse for all of the confusion and all of the tossing around and providing clarity for those that are looking for something. A light of biblical truth to those who are seeking, and not just those who want to be preachers like it started out as, but those who are wanting that spiritual foundation that Miroslava said, that she can build the rest of her life on. Those who are going to go on and be in other professions and this growing middle class that's developing in Ukraine. A light to the churches that are out and struggling. Some of our alumni who constantly say, we wish there were more classes or something we could do. A light that reveals these practical skills and really helps the churches and the students and the world around them grow. So as UBI looks to the future, these next 25 years that are coming up, we've been asking questions. We've been talking about it as a staff. How are our students different today than they were 25 years ago? What skills do they need in order to reach today's Ukraine versus what it used to be? What needs are there among the churches? How can UBI help in those? We want to be sensitive to God's calling for UBI today, in today's Ukraine, the way that the people who started the school were sensitive to God's calling at that time in Ukraine's history. So we're wrestling with this. We're still talking about it. We're talking strategy. Where are we going? What's our clear vision for the future so that we can be proactive in training the students and reaching Ukraine and not reactive, which is too easy to do. These conversations are still happening. There's no big plan or vision statement I'm going to give you right now, but I wanted to just leave you with a few things that are coming up in our conversations that excite us. And I share these with you so that you can be praying about this specifically for the future of the school and what ideas maybe come to your mind after I share this. We'd love to talk. But here are the three things that come up. The first is distance learning, which has been talked about for years and something I'm kind of not a big fan of, but this last year has really showed us it doesn't matter what I'm a fan of. The world's changing and people are changing right along with it. And so how can we embrace this online learning? How can we reach more? I told you we did a youth ministry class last year for the first time, and it had to be online because of our quarantine. And so we put out an invitation online and said, anybody that wants to join our class for this youth ministry class, please do. And every day we had 10 to 20 other people joining us online for this class. How can we develop that? How can we reach more people that are just wanting to study the Bible, but they've got their families and they've got their jobs? How can we develop our correspondence courses? How can we better help maybe our graduates in a long-distance way? So taking this part of it seriously, growing it, and yet still trying to keep the special place that the residential school is. That's what we're thinking. Number two is interesting because it's not really a dream for the future, but I think it really plays a part into who we're going to be as a future. For the last several years, there is a public university in the capital that a lady there wanted to start an experimental Christian degree program connected to the university. And so in her effort to get people to come, get this program growing, to prove that there was, you know, a place for it in the school, she connected with our institute and said, we will take your graduates' two-year diplomas, Bible diplomas, translate them through some magic box or something, and take them as four-year bachelor's degrees, and your students can study for another 2 years and get their master's in some other profession, some other area of study. And so it's very suspicious, yes, but it's very Ukraine. But it's also very real. Many of our graduates have already gone through this. They've studied 2 years long distance. They'll come in for different, you know, classes and things. And at the end of it, they've received their master's degree. And I know someone who was in one of our alumni who was in prison for murder, you know, prison for like 14 years of his young life, never had any sort of real formal education. He came through the Bible Institute, and because of that, he now has a master's degree in something. And it's not, it's just opened so many interesting doors because these graduates, and they're doing that, can now go to schools, they can go to orphanages, and they can say, we'd love to spend time with your youth, but you can't just go in like you used to be able to do. So now you say, I've got a degree as a teacher, and they'll be like, please come in. And that's happening. That's happening now. And so we're excited to use that as we move forward, maybe better prepare our students for that, and see where it goes. But that's been an interesting development and something that I think really could bless the school and bless our students in unexpected ways for those that aren't necessarily looking to just go do full-time ministry. And the last thing is one of the scariest, but the one that just keeps coming back and excites us. 2 years isn't a long time. And when you're trying to get through the Bible in 2 years, that's not a long time. But alongside that, we're doing practical courses as well. And as I told you, we're trying to push more practical courses. Well, there's not a lot of wiggle room. And eventually, you're going to start sacrificing the Bible courses for the practical courses. And we don't want to do that, of course, at all. And so this question keeps coming up. What if we had more time? What if we had a third year? What could we do with a third year? How much more focus on practical could we do a coordinated internship where they go work with our alumni? And along with more time for that, there would actually be more time for the Bible study. And we could, we have a lot of compressed courses because of lack of time, and it would be great to give the students more of those extra long books and extra long topics. And so the third year is something we're talking about. It would be a challenge for sure in a lot of different ways. It would require a lot of changes. But the first question we're trying to ask more than anything else is, what could happen if we did that, and not could it happen? So those are three things that we're excited about and working towards, and hopefully over these next several months we're going to have a clear goal, a clear plan of who do we want UBI to be for today's Ukraine. UBI has always been more than a preacher training school. In fact, it's not even known as that in Ukraine, but we toss that name around here quite a lot. It's always been a place to study God's Word, grow in your faith, learn ministry skills, whether you're young, old, male, female, rap sheet, no rap sheet. It's been for everyone who's wanting to develop their relationship with God. This is just one other example. This is Slavik, who's one of our alumni. He started it's essentially a halfway house. Those who have gotten out of prison or hit rock bottom, he provides a place and a program for them to go to, either over 6 months or a year. And a lot of our recent year students have come through his program. So this is UBI. UBI seeks to train spiritual leaders who are able to confidently serve both the church and Ukraine in relevant and practical ways. And I think UBI has always been about that, but the relevant and practical is starting to change shape, and we want to be sensitive to that. So that's what's been going on. That's what we're thinking about, where we're going. And again, thank you so much for your participation, for your involvement in this. It's been a blessing. You are a blessing to us, and I hope that you know whatever good, warm, encouraging feelings you had, you're a part of that, because we couldn't do it without you. So thank you. If anybody has any questions afterwards, feel free to come up and talk. Love talking about this place.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
Attention, and I was pretty impressed with how well-behaved everyone was, Brooklyn and Todd especially. You guys did a great job. That was a lot. Thank you, Brandon, so much. I want to let everyone know, if you'd like to contribute, the church intends to put those funds together on one check for Brandon Price, so he doesn't run out of here with a grocery sack full of ones. Feel free to hand that money off to Todd, myself, David, or put them in that box there as you leave. If you feel motivated to make a contribution and didn't have a chance to do so this morning, if there's no further or additional announcements, I'm going to close this out tonight in a prayer. Father God, we're so humbled that you have looked to us, your children, to be your servants. We're so challenged by the mission to take your word and your truth to all the ends of the earth. And for those of us at a small church in a small town in Oklahoma who ask, what's my opportunity to be part of that? In your love for us, you've given us opportunities to do that even here from Glenpool. And we're grateful for those opportunities. We're thankful that those opportunities, in this case, take the shape of the Price family. And Father God, we ask a special blessing on Katie, on Brandon, and on Justice. We ask you to continue to keep them safe as they go forward. We know that they've answered the call and that they've served you in areas that have been dangerous at times, in political situations that have been fluid, to say the least. We know that they've put their trust in you, dear Lord, and that example is a beautiful example for us, for our youth, and even for those of us who are not youth any longer, to understand that trusting in you enables us to do wonderful things, that doing things in the name of Jesus magnifies the effort in a way that transcends human understanding at times, but enables the gospel message to move forward. I ask your blessing on these young people who've stepped forward to become leaders, these older people who are changing a chapter in their lives, and everybody who's going to come forward in the years ahead at the Ukrainian Bible Institute. Please know that they are an example to us, dear Lord. Keep them safe. keep information about them flowing to us that it would encourage us and receive our prayers on their behalf. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen.